Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is Hal, your occupational therapist, and welcome to Occupational Therapy Conversations. Sometimes I feel for occupational therapists who are faced with the daunting task of providing occupational therapy. Say you are in a setting that is critical care, for example, and you are faced with a patient who is awake but not able to do a lot of things and not able to communicate. The person is in pain, or perhaps the pain is managed. Patient can be attached to a lot of things. They can be on ventilators, they can be on multiple lines, they can be on filters, they can be on other supportive devices. And if this is the case, and you are to provide a session, it is quite challenging because the question is, what are you going to do? I've been consulted many times by a lot of therapists about that, and I do not have a direct answer because, one, I do not know who the patient is. Two, I am not in the position of that therapist. Why do I need to know who the person is? When you do, you'll understand who the person is in the wider sense. Not just the name, not just the address, but who is this person? What is the character of this person? What are the things that are important to this person? That's first and foremost. It's very important for us to know that. What are their values? What do they hold dear and what do they hold true as a person? Once you know those things, then these are windows for occupational therapists. And these are windows for OTs to start thinking about things that they can do. So that's on the part of the person. On the other side, when I said I don't know much about the therapists themselves hold their own personal views, personal values, personal perspectives. The therapist also holds an entire range of life experiences as well. And whether we like it or not, the therapist will have to draw on these life experiences so that they can think of the best ways on how to help the person. Simplified, this is called the use of self. You're not just using your knowledge base. You're also tapping onto your personal preferences. And when you have a therapist who is grounded in terms of their intent, not just on the cognitive side or knowledge of the disease process, but also of their knowledge of their self, it is only then can a therapist really think about ways of how to help the person. So there's two at play here, the patient and the therapist. That's why I cannot help for that particular matter. It becomes so individualized. Sometimes it is so much easier if you look at the person and you know the disease process. Because knowing the disease process, it becomes more predictable. The sequela of the condition is more predictable. If somebody has had heart failure, then the pathway to recovery is more predictable. If somebody had a lung problem, the pathway to respiratory recovery is much more anticipated and predictable. Somebody had a stroke, you'd know what the sequela of the condition is. Those things are quite predictable. And it's easier to focus on those disease and what are the treatment things that you needed to tap onto. You do some techniques, biomechanical techniques. You do some neurological techniques. You do some cognitive interventions. Easier. It is much more difficult when you have to tap onto treating the person and you're treating the person's core self. And those are the challenges that faces therapists in critical care. One, patient is not yet stable and you can't do a lot of physical rehabilitation. So you'll have to think of other ways. You have to think of therapy in the form of occupation. How are you going to do that? I've had staff, like I said, I've had staff consulting me. They don't know what to do, and I don't know how to advise them best. It's almost like, I can only pray for you, my brother and my sister. But you need to tap onto your own source of self. And for a therapist to deliver that type of intervention, a therapist needs to be filled with hope, with values, with creativity, with zest for life. So at the end of the day, take away all of these definitions of therapy. It falls down on two souls trying to help each other, two individuals trying to help one another, the therapists reaching out to help the sick person. And it is that raw, it is that organic. So what can be the takeaway from this talk? It is difficult, it's not easy, but to be able to find out and to deliver some interventions for your patients, you really need to know the person as a person, not just as an individual with all the superficial information. You really need to know the person. Second, you need to know yourself as an occupational therapist. And you need to draw on your zest for life, and you need to draw on your experiences. You need to value the core self of an individual and yourself. You need to do that, the individual and yourself. And by doing this, you can start thinking about activities. Okay, now how do you provide activities? Yes, there are steps, there are procedures out there, there are stages. What are the activities? Go back into those continuum of rehabilitation. Are you on the adjunctive phase? Are you on the enabling phase? Definitely, in critical care, one's not on the purposeful stage or functional ADLs. Especially if the person is connected to a lot of things, they're bedbound, they're attached to lots of life support organs, but they are awake. How are you going to do that? Okay, let's put that scenario. What can I be doing? Is the person awake? Is the person alert? Okay, I'll think about things that they like. Can I read a book for them? What are the books that they like to read? That's fine. Can I play a music for them so they listen to it? Can I give them some relaxation sessions and activities? Head massage, hand massage. Okay. What are the things that I've done in the past? I've had scenarios like that, right? And it just happened that at the time, I was discovering about these AI-generated music. So that's me. That's from my sense of self and a sense of my experience. And I was so amazed by it. What I did was people. I'll go and speak to people. I show them. And I share them that personal experience. And I said, look, have you ever heard of AI before? I asked people and patients. And they said they haven't. And then I showed them. And we were there watching at Freddie Mercury singing Hey Jude, or Michael Jackson singing Never Gonna Give You Up, or Frank Sinatra's AI version, Smells Like Teen Spirit of Nirvana. And I was so amazed, and I shared that amazement to the patient, and the patient was there, and that's a session that is 45 minutes to an hour of us doing that. It's not physically active, but that's engaging, engagement nonetheless. What other things that I've done in the past on this? It happened that I got given a joke book. English is not my first language, so I thought they were a little bit funny. But then the person can't laugh because they're on a tracheostomy. They have ventilators, but they're alert. They can hear, they can mouth, and they can move their hands. So what I did was I thought about reading the book or the joke, and I gave them cards. And the cards being having numbers of 1 to 5, 5 being funny, and 1/8, not funny at all. So there is a ranking. So I'd read them the joke, and then the patient themselves would rank it. And again, that's one that had the engagement. Again, that is from a personal experience, my personal experience at the time, something that I find amazing. And then what other things? Card games, very usual. Yes, there's a Uno out there, the Uno cards. But then I gave them like a lucky 9. And what can be the lucky 9 would be, so this is a game, this is a card game, and you give the patient 2 cards, and you have 2 cards. And the intention is if you add these cards, the ending should be closer to 9 as possible. And if the ending is low, say 3 or 1, the person has an option of having an extra card. And that's like a lucky 9 game. And there we go. And again, that is an engagement as well. What are the things that are out there? The one time, person again cannot communicate, but there is movement in the hand and we can't do much. And I've got marbles in my bag, the bag of tricks, the occupational therapy bag. And then what I did was I'd grab a handful and I put it in the patient's hand. And the question, is it odd or is it even? So the patient had to guess and put it on the one side if it's odd, or point to the other side if it's even. And then if it is odd, and if they win, if they're correct, they get to keep those marbles. If they don't, I get to keep the marbles. And these are some of the activities that you just think about on the day, at the time. And those activities are not standardized. But these are activities that is available to the therapist. And it's something that the therapist can do. Then it will draw on the strengths of the therapist. And one of the most challenging part of it is if you are so not up to doing anything. As therapist, you're also a person. And sometimes you have other life concerns, like family, for example, or health issues or relationship issues. You can't be bothered. And if you can't be bothered because you are injured by life events, it will translate to your ability to transact with your patients. And I've had scenarios and situations where staff get so frustrated, not knowing what to do with their patients. It traumatizes the therapist. And then they call in sick. And it's that what I would quote possibly a learned helplessness. It feels like the therapist is helpless to help. And then you're there for 7.5 hours, twiddling your thumb, thinking of what to do, trying to justify what you do. It is challenging, guys. It's not easy. But if you get it right, it so nourishes the soul. That's the conversation today, guys. I hope you learned a little something. If you did, have a conversation, talk to your friends, grow together, learn together, and remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, talk to your friends and colleagues about it. Like it, subscribe, share, and do what you can to appease whatever algorithm that is at play. I am but your humble clinician, albeit with years of experience, I have very little understanding of this digital world. So if you have any questions or if you have topics that you want me to talk about, drop me an email. It's riot.conversations@gmail.com. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.